their family being here this week, and they've been a tremendous encouragement to our church as well. And haven't just all the missionary families been a blessing? I appreciate their spirit just coming here to serve and to plug in wherever. And that's been what I have seen in their hearts and lives. And I thank God for that. That means a lot to me as a pastor. And I appreciate Brother Raleigh Hill, who was in local church ministry for 10 years and helping plant a church here in the States. And God just worked in his heart. And man, called him to Argentina. And man, what a blessing that is. And to see how the Lord's working in their life. So Brother Raleigh, you come after the special that Sister Elizabeth will have, and you just preach what God's put on your heart, brother.
I want to say thank you and just echo the words that Brother David said, that you guys have just been so gracious to us and so kind. It is refreshing, especially for my family as well, just being on the road constantly, to be able to come into church and feel just refreshed and loved by all of you. It really helps us. It gets us a little further down the road. Sometimes deputation can wear on you, and it can kind of wear you out pretty much, where you're sort of second guessing. Lord, are you sure this is the only way we can do this? Bank robbery's off the table, I know, but what else you got, you know? But I am so thankful that we have been so blessed just to be able to get to know you and know you better. And then just all the gracious care you've taken for us. We appreciate that so much. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach God's Word. You know, any time that we could stand in a free country and open up the perfectly preserved Word of God and freely just enjoy to hear God's Word, we ought to just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for where we live. You know, I was listening to Brother David there, and as he was talking, we have talked a little bit back and forth this week. It's sort of funny how much that the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires, is very much similar to New York City. And so just seeing the truth is that there are inner cities all over our country,
right,
and all over this world that are unchurched because some people think it's hard.
Amen.
But the truth is that there is a tender people,
amen,
that just need Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
And so tonight I want to preach just a little bit about Jesus Christ and how He dealt with the masses. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35 through verse number 38. And I want to preach a message tonight just simply titled, Moved with Compassion. I'd like to tell you that this is going to be a great message, but as missionaries, we get to preach messages a couple of times, and so you sort of get to work the kinks out. Well, this is a brand new message, so y'all get all the kinks. And it's in the Lord's hands, we'll say that. But Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35, we'll begin reading, and it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you healed our disease.
Amen.
And Lord, that you've cleansed us from the disease of sin and the death that comes, Lord, as punishment for being a sinner. Lord, I thank you that you left your home. And as a missionary, you came down to my home. And you died for me. Lord, I thank you tonight. And I pray that for a few minutes, Lord, you would lend us your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would help me to preach this message the way you would have it preached. Lord, that you would open the ear of the hearer, Lord, the heart of the listener, Lord, that we might look at your Word, Lord God, and see your example. And Lord, that we might be moved by it, Lord, and be better when we leave here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we look at our Christian life, and the majority of the messages that we hear, probably not here because your pastor is a good preacher and just is burdened about giving you the Word of God and the whole counsel, but in most churches, It's all the gospel. It's always the gospel. Now, we want people to be saved. Don't get me wrong. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me put in a plug for the gospel. It's the best thing that will ever happen in your life. Amen. Is the day you realize that you can't get to heaven on your own, but that Jesus Christ did it for you, and by accepting His work, by faith, your sin debt is covered and your home is settled in heaven. But the truth is, it's only the beginning of our Christian life. Now, it's the majority of what we talk about and we focus on and we think about what's going on. But, you know, salvation, once you get saved, you entered in to what God had planned for your life. Do you realize everything up to salvation had nothing to do with what God had planned? Because when God created Adam and Eve, He created them to have a perfect relationship, walking with them day and night. So until the day you get saved, you're backing up. The day you get saved, all we're trying to do is get back to the place where Adam and Eve were. So once that's restored, now your life begins. Salvation is only the beginning.
Amen.
But boy, it's a great start, isn't it, Pastor?
It's a wonderful start.
But after salvation, what are we supposed to be doing? What exactly is our purpose after we're saved? I mean, because if we were supposed to just be saved and that was it, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'd just take you straight up into heaven. Well, that's not scriptural, Brother Raleigh. Okay, well, what about Enoch? God translated him. I think God could do it for all of us. I mean, to be honest with you, I think my dad would like to be able to push that button any time now. He's getting a little tired of these health issues. He's like, every day it gets harder and harder to get out of bed. He said, if God's back in the translate business, I'm in. But God leaves us here after we're saved. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and then He went straight to heaven, right? And that was it. No. He was on the earth for 40 days in the newness of life. See, salvation is only the beginning. God has a plan. He has a specific purpose for us. And tonight, I want to look at the example that Jesus left for us as the church, as Christians, in our lives after salvation. We look here in this passage in verse number 35. We see the very first aspect of this, that Jesus, once He began His ministry, which was indeed His purpose, He served the people. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was His entire plan. I mean, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 49, where He looked at His mom and said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I mean, this was long before the official ministry started. This was on the verge of back-talking His mom and, you know, in some light, because they were like, "Hey, you know, what are you doing here?" And I believe reverently the Lord just said, "Mom, don't you remember my purpose? This is what I'm here for." Little side note there. I love that Mary pondered those things in her heart. You know, sometimes you're going to have some kids that are going to say, "Hey, I want to be a missionary." "Oh, you're just a kid. You don't know." "Hey, I want to be a preacher. I want to start a church." "Oh, you're just a kid. You don't know. You're going to go do this thing." Parents, maybe we take a little note there. Maybe we ought to just ponder some things in our heart. Because I can tell you, I was a reprobate teenager. Hideous in every way. I still have youth workers. We were just over to church not too long ago where my youth workers at my very worst time in my life were there at the church. And during the entire message, this is what I look at. They couldn't stop shaking their head the whole time. I'm trying not to laugh because I know what they're thinking. I can't believe it either some days. That's right, God can do anything. Whoo! Y'all thought bringing sight to the blind was something. But you know, here in this passage we see that Jesus Christ, from the very beginning, served the people. It was His total purpose, was to serve. You know, hey, since you've been saved, I want to throw that out there. Where have you been serving? Over in Colossians, I was looking at another passage this afternoon that said, since the day they had been saved, and it listed how that he was amazed at the love for all the saints. But then also it listed the fruit of the gospel since the day they heard. What have we done since the day we've gotten saved? Jesus left the example. It's plain here. It said that he went into the cities and the villages. I like that he said cities and villages. There's really not much left other than that. Except for where we live, which is like cities, villages, and then a driveway every mile and a half. But you get the point. He went everywhere. And when he went everywhere, what was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus went flat right out to where they were at, right in the middle of where they gathered together, and he shared the gospel. Everywhere he went preaching the kingdom of God. He went preaching the gospel everywhere he went. Church, you may not be the best children's church worker. I have learned that not everyone is meant to work in children's ministries.
Amen.
We had this one dear lady in our children's ministry about 20 years ago. Bless her heart. She wanted to serve, and somebody said, "Well, why don't you help in children's church?" After about the third week, I went back to Pastor, and I said, "Pastor, I'll pay for her not to come back here anymore." I said, "Because the lawsuit we're going to be in from her jerking up one of these kids and beating them to death is not going to be worth anything that we gain." And I'm not saying she was totally wrong. Some of those little heathens needed it. The point of the matter was, is we were going to get sued over it. And I realized real quick that she might just be better served with people she liked. Because children were not people she liked. But whatever God's gifted you to do, it doesn't excuse you from being a soul winner. Because if there's one example that Jesus set, it was preaching the gospel. Seeking to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Every moment of his life was based upon that purpose. We read in the book of Acts, those that addicted themselves to the ministry. They that turned the world upside down. Why? Because it was real. See, we live in the Bible Belt, and the truth is we get lulled to sleep. And we forget that the lady at Dairy Queen or McDonald's or Walmart or wherever we're at. Maybe she wasn't born in the South and she hadn't been to 25 different vacation Bible schools.
Mm-hmm.
Or had a grandmother that ever witnessed to her or was ever raised in church. We just forget.
Amen. Right.
The one job we've all been given is to serve the people.
Mm-hmm.
To serve them the gospel.
Yes.
Everywhere we go. Now we see not only here that he served the people, secondly, in verse number 36, we see that he saw the people. You know, another problem that we have is sometimes maybe you are serving. You're in the ministry. You are maybe a Sunday school teacher or you're doing some discipleship or you're singing in the choir. You're a greeter. Bless your heart if you're a nursery worker because that's a whole nother level. I'm not gifted to work in the nursery, just so you know. If y'all could have seen the first dirty diaper from Madison that I changed, y'all would still laugh. I had a clothespin on, whole 9 yards, and I'm still gagging the whole time. Got a trash can and everything. I'm just not made for that. Listen, I have been a police officer, a firefighter, an EMT. I can take blood, guts, bones all day long. Does not bother me a bit. But you bring a dirty diaper around here and I'm done. It's over with. I am not gifted in that area. So God bless all you nursery workers, mamas and grandmamas. Lord bless y'all.
Yes.
But you know what? No matter where you may have been serving at, it's real easy sometimes to forget about the people. We start serving and man, we're just in it, we're doing it, we're going through the motions. I can't tell you how many times that I've been door knocking, inviting people to church, and just think about what I'm doing or the next thing I'm doing and forget to even ask them about the gospel. I did real good about hanging that door hanger on or even passing out that tract, but I just forgot. Honestly. Just didn't even cross my mind I'm just inviting them to church. Thought that was a good thing. I was busy doing. Very busy doing. One thing they taught us in the police department in our very first class, it was really a lot of fun for me. I got paid 40 hours one week to learn to be an urban gunfighter. That means I went to work every day and received a paycheck to learn how to be a modern-day gunfighter. I was like, that's awesome. This is the best job ever. They may run us to death and have to kill us, but this is great. But one thing they taught us in that is that when your adrenaline gets flowing, that the first thing you do is you get tunnel vision. It's a natural response to stress is to get tunnel vision. And then they said people with PTSD, they also get tunnel vision real bad too, because once they come into a stressful situation, they revert back to a time that was worse than where they actually are. So that means that their mind goes back to that really stressful time, even though when they're at it, it's not really that bad, but they revert back to that hard time. And the truth is, we get the same way with our humdrum activities. We start serving the Lord, and man, we start getting tunnel vision in. And it's about how many tracts I'm passing out. It's about getting this activity together for the teenagers. It's about, you know, my Sunday school lesson. It's about the offertory. It's about singing in the choir. And we're just thinking about what we're doing. We forget why we're doing it. I love that the Bible plainly says here that though Jesus was in the middle of the work, it says that He stepped back and He saw the people. I said, man, what an example. How many times do we just need to step back? I love Brother Wilt's video because it showed the people. Sometimes we just got to step back and think. Crooked Creek Baptist Church, it's not about Crooked Creek Baptist Church. It's about the people that Jesus Christ gave His life for and trusted us to tell.
Amen.
I mean, He trusted us so much, Pastor, that He left. He's like, all right, you guys got this. And then He went back to heaven. I'm glad He said you won't have to do it alone. I'm really thankful for that verse, take no thought for what you will say when the time has come, because I don't usually take thought for what I'm about to say next. I'm real thankful for the Holy Spirit helping me out there. But Jesus gives us an example. Not only was He in the work, I mean from the moment of His life. Listen, after salvation we ought to be in the work, but don't get so in the work that you forget to step back and see the people. There's a lost and dying world. Nothing touched my heart more on the mission field than seeing the people.
Amen. Amen.
Right. You know, I went there and I saw this big city, and all I thought about is I hate big cities. There's so much traffic. Even though I love the way they drive, there's no rules. Just bumper cars everywhere you go. As long as you're not a motorcycle, you're okay. But all I thought was where I was at. Then a few days into it, the Lord just grabbed my heart. And He reminded me the where doesn't matter. It's the who. All these people, millions, on their way to hell. What else could matter more? So not only did He serve the people, not only did He step back and see the people, the number 3 in verse number 36, it says that He was moved with compassion. He sorrowed for the people. See, compassion literally means to sorrow with someone. But you know, sometimes I can see the people, but I see them through my eyes and not the Lord's. When I see them through my eyes, I start calling them names because they can't drive worth a flip. I'm just like, you people should have your license revoked. I mean, really, in Georgia, does anybody know how to merge? I'm thinking, come on, it's every other car. We all know it. Make room. Everybody just come in. We keep going 95 miles an hour. Come on, everybody knows that. Don't let up. And then you get used to Atlanta traffic, where it's like NASCAR preparation because it's bumper to bumper at 90 miles an hour the whole way. Then you go to another state and bumper to bumper to them is like 25. And I'm like, I don't get it. That sign clearly says minimum speed 40 miles an hour. What are we doing? You know, and I can see them through my eyes, and I'll be honest with you, my eyes is like throat punch for everybody. Just start smacking people. I have a stupid allergy. I really do. I start breaking out into sarcasm and nervous fits and can't control my body and start wanting to punch people. It's just, I have a stupid allergy. It's hard. But that's when I'm seeing it through my eyes. The problem is, that doesn't work. I can get frustrated with liberals, or I can get frustrated with somebody who doesn't see it the way I see it, doesn't do it the way I do it. You know, it's real easy for me to just decide that my way is the right way, and anybody else is just doing it wrong. But I can tell you, when I get to Argentina, that won't work. They think we're crazy for eating eggs for breakfast. I think they're crazy for trying to survive on a croissant. I'm like, Lord Jesus, that won't get me 30 minutes down the road. Like, how are we going to do this? And then they don't even have bacon. No breakfast sausage. I'm like, well, at least y'all can grind pork and we'll put the spices in there or something. I need some meat. They eat meat twice a day, and that's this little bitty thin sliced ham wannabe sandwich in the afternoon, and then they make up for it at night with a chunk of steak or a steak sandwich. I'm thinking to myself, that steak sandwich sounds good three times a day. But there's a lot of things they do different that I can look at it through my eyes and I'm going to get frustrated. They call it culture shock. What that really means is I'm ticked off at everybody because y'all aren't doing it right. That's what culture shock really is. And I can get there and I can just be mad because everything is just wrong. I'm just thankful they drive on the right side of the road. And I mean right-handed side of the road. Because I'd really get bothered if I just lost where I was at one day and then just confused it all up, we'd be in trouble. But see, the key is not only to step back and see the people, but we can't see it through our eyes. We have to see it through their eyes, through God's eyes. We have to be able to step back and sorrow with the people. Look, sin makes everybody mad, and it ought to. It ought to bother you. Sin ought never be comfortable in your life. But listen, you can't look at their sin and their bad choices and just push down on them constantly. That's not the Lord. Amen. See, His eyes was a woman that was brought to Him, and He drew a little bit in the sand and said, "Ye that are without sin, cast the first stone." Yeah. Because He sorrowed with her. Yeah. Hey, that woman at the well that had five husbands, and the one she was with now wasn't even her husband. What did he do? He continued with the gospel. Amen. Well, that was because it was easy. No, if you read on, he argued with her for a good little while about her religion and about her heritage and everything else. That sin didn't slow him down. He didn't excuse it. He didn't condone it. But he had sorrow for her condition. And He literally took that sorrow upon Himself to pay the price to make a solution in salvation. So not only did He serve the people, not only did He see the people, He sorrowed for the people. But then lastly, look with me, in verse number 37 and 38, He says, "Then He said unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." He requested supplication for laborers. When He saw that, just like Brother Wilt said, we need 1,000 more churches in New York City. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
That He would send forth laborers.
Amen.
Into the harvest. You want to renew your compassion?
Yeah.
Just start trying to see it like Jesus saw it.
Yeah.
Simply pray, "Lord, take away my eyes and put yours in their place.
Yeah.
Let me see this world as you see it. Help me to do what I can." Whatever that is, help me to do what I can, Lord, to serve you. Be willing to make a change. See, we can't just go on the same way that you came in tonight and change the world. If we're going to change the world, we must first change ourselves. That only happens through the work of Jesus Christ. Salvation is only the beginning. That work doesn't stop until we get to heaven. And I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 500 years. Every day, Lord, today, change me that I might change the world. Because there's a world that needs us. It's out there every day when you go to work. It's right down the road from where you live. It's your next door neighbor. But it's all around this world. You know what? I hope you pray for us. We need it. Just like Brother David said, we need 1,000 more churches in BA.
Amen.
And I hope you'll pray for us as we're on our mission fields. We'll be praying with you, but I hope you'll never forget you're on a mission field. Every day. See the people. Sorrow with the people. And then just go ahead and pray. Lord, help me to effect change in the world around me. Every head bowed and every eye closed.